Welcome, welcome, welcome back one more time. Welcome to another episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder. And this time we will be featuring my best friend, Keith Fagan, who is going to help me wrap up the topic that we've been talking about for the previous 2 weeks, which is self-care, part three. We're going to take all the things that we've talked about in the previous 2 weeks with the previous two guests that I had, and we're going to just basically do a little wrap-up. So sit back, relax, and enjoy Wonder Why. This podcast, Wonder Why, with your boy L Wonder, featuring Keith Fagan, talking about self-care, the wrap-up. Thank you. And you see, we got the man, the myth, the legend. We got Mr. K back in the building. I do want to give a quick shout out to my wife, Amanda, for her for graduating with her associate's degree.
Congratulations, yeah, I'm very Amanda. Proud of that. What did she graduate with?
She has a associate's in arts for business administration.
Okay.
I'm very proud of my wife. She got a for her associate's degree in business administration.
Y'all gonna go into business together.
Oh yeah, but you know what? And she ain't finished because January is starting, and she's starting her fourth bachelor's. You know, I'm glad that you're back. I'm glad we get a chance to wrap up this topic because we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about self care, and the first week we had an interview with my cousin. We just seen him. He on here. He was watching. He just talked about his whole situation that. How he been going through certain things and how he was going through depression, but what he had to do to get himself out of that depression. Then last week we had a registered nurse. We had Tiff on here, and she was talking about self-care from the nursing perspective. So what I want to do, I'm glad that you're back, because what I want to do is just kind of wrap this thing up and bring it all together as far as self-care. So I think before we do anything, what I want to do is I want to establish what is self-care.
So okay,
just break that down for me. What do you see self-care as?
You want the short answer, or you want the real answer?
I want the real answer. I want the Mr. K answer.
All right. So self-care is about being selfish. And a lot of times growing up, we are always told that selfish is a negative thing. That we are taught as kids that you're not supposed to be selfish. Don't be selfish. You know, learn how to be a certain way. But what you realize is the children who use that really grasp that concept of being selfless is that you grow up to become a giver. And once you become a giver, nine times out of 10, if you're a giver, you're gonna hook up relationship-wise with a taker. Like, rarely is it going to be two givers. There's going to be one person that's a giver and there's one person that's a taker.
Okay.
Because the way that care is received. So in other words, look at it in the perspective of if two people are sick, let's just say two people are sick in the house, a husband and a wife, right? If there's nobody else in the house, who fixes the soup? Who goes and gets the Theraflu? Who goes to the grocery store? If there's nobody around, one person is going to be pushing it. The other person is going to be in the bed sick. Mm-hmm. In that term, somebody's going to become the giver and somebody's going to become the taker. There's not going to be two people trying to take care of each other. Whoever considers themselves to be less sick is going to be considered to be the giver. So in a real life sense, that some people are positioned to be givers, and they always give. And they almost feel guilty a lot of times doing things for themselves because they think it is selfish. Mm-hmm. And so what happens in the long term in our lifetime is that we get to the point where if I continue to give of myself to a person, that basically what me giving is part of my happiness. It's supposed to be part of my self-care because they're so happy. So this has got to be a good thing. But the realistic view of it is that we don't start to care about ourselves. We don't start to look out for our personal needs. We don't start to deal with our hurts and our pains and our anguish because we are conditioned to look into someone else's. We are trying to carry other people's things. And so once we start carrying other people's problems, it's just like if a person is a job wise, say a person is a social worker. And a person is a social worker, the job of a social worker is to go around and basically find out what's going on with everybody. And their job is to carry whatever problem that is and to sort of kind of deal with and navigate whatever situation that is. And after a social worker goes home, that can't turn off because they got to be thinking about what to do the next day. So as a social worker, somebody that works with people with that deal with their physical or mental care, even if you are a nurse or something like that, sometimes you get into the habit that your actual job is to care for people. And that if you work a lot, you don't have a lot of time to necessarily care for yourself because you're always caring for others. And so in life, a lot of times we go through life thinking that we're doing something for ourselves or that we're having some type of self-care. But in reality is that we are kind of masking and painting over temporary fixes, whether it be like, okay, here, let me go get a drink, or, oh, let me go ahead and buy this new pair of shoes. And we start to make these temporary self-care band-aids so that we can go back to doing what we regularly do. But in reality is we're not really caring for ourselves. We're not really healing. We're not really getting better. And in order to be self-care, you have to be selfish. Sometimes it means that you have to say no. Sometimes it means that you have to go. Sometimes it means you have to rest. Sometimes it means you have to put your feet up. Sometimes it means you have to take an extra drive or the long way to a place. Sometimes it means you have to sit there and listen to some music or things like that. You know, sometimes it means just, okay, let me go get my nails done and my feet done, my hands and my feet. You know, sometimes it means let me go get my hair done. You know, sometimes it could be playing video games, or sometimes it can even be sitting down and watching a movie. But you always have to give yourself an opportunity to decompress. And self-care is physical, spiritual, and emotional. And you have to be able to feed all those sides. No person can live in a world where those cares aren't being met. But people who need the least amount of self-care are the people who request the most care, because they have somebody that's caring for them. They don't have to have the stress of not having a self-care, because somebody will make sure that opportunity presents itself. And sometimes some of us, like even with single mothers, they don't always have the opportunity to have to take that time to have self-care because they have their kids. And so when you say to somebody, oh, can you watch my kids? People kind of run for the hills and people don't want to watch them. You know what I'm saying? And then you have the same father on the other side. He could just be doing what he has to do. He gets all his personal time met. So in life, there's a whole lot of people that don't get a lot of self-care. You know what I'm saying? And I say this is the last portion of it. And this is, you know, there's going to be some irony in this. I give a perfect example, right? When Barack Obama was the president, Donald Trump used to say a whole lot of things about him going on vacation and what he used to do and all these things that he used to do outside of being the president. And so when he was outside of being a president, he used to criticize it very harshly. Like, he should be in there doing this, he should be in the office, he should be doing this. And what happens is once Donald Trump got to be the president, he has been golfing more than any president in history. Mm-hmm. And the reason that is that he realized that, oh, there's a lot of venom up here. This is a harder job than it looks like. And you need to take frequent vacations, because from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, people calling you, pulling on you, talking to you, not to mention he tweeting, he getting into arguments. And so a lot of times he would spend his free time going to the golf course, walking to the golf course for a couple hours. You know what I'm saying? Even in that position, he needed to have some self-care in order to maintain, to even be that president. And so we all need that time. And so self-care is an opportunity. It's a real tangible thing. I mean, it could be meditating. Sometimes it could be sitting down, having a quiet meal. But we all need a moment to have some self-care. It helps our mental health.
So the one thing that I like that you said that sticks out to me is the fact that you said you started off talking about how self-care has a certain level of selfishness to it. And I think that's probably why a lot of people have a stigmatism about taking care of themselves, because they feel like it's always something to do, or it's always somebody I need to be helping, or something. It's always something to do, so to speak. But it's just like you said, with a single mother, it's always something, whether it's packing the kids' clothes, whether it's getting the kids ready for school the next day, packing, getting lunches. I got to do work at doing this. I watch it at my job all the time. You know, I'm the assistant of a facility director. Well, I'm second to a facility director, and I watch, and she's on vacation. She just so happened to be on vacation. She's up for a couple of days, and she's so nervous. Like, okay, Lamar, I never took vacation. I only took 2 days of vacation this year. You know, I'm nervous. She don't never like to leave. She's always walking around a facility picking up the trash. She's the person bringing in the cones. She even have a handful of people. She even have the people that's under her doing the same thing. You know, we got people who's supposed to be scheduling appointments, focusing on stuff, taking care of IT stuff. So it's like everybody, I think at a certain point in time, we start picking up, and it's all necessity. It's not saying it's anything that don't have to be done, but we start doing so much, we feel like we put so much weight on ourselves that we stop caring about ourselves. We stop being focused on what we need. But just like you said, I think that on the other side, there is a huge other side. There is a part of it on the other side where people are too take, where it's more selfish than anything else. And they do that self-care becomes a way of life instead of a breath of fresh air. I think so. I definitely get what you're saying. You know, we do need to be mindful. We need to be careful when it comes to self-care. And that's the part of self-care this is why I brought up self-care. Because I think with this technology generation, with this technology, not just the generation, but the technology that we're all in, what was meant to help us out, which was what was meant to help us when in the technology, I think it did something worse. I think the technology was supposed to make things a lot easier, a lot simpler for us. But what it started doing, it started making us multitask more. just think about it. How many, I know I sit at my computer all the time and I'm working on a report. Then I get an instant message so I got to reply to the instant message. And I start researching something to respond to the instant message. Then I get an email and I got to see what's going on so I can deal with this email. Then I got another problem. Somebody comes to my door. So instead of being focused on what I'm doing, or the technology that was supposed to make certain things simple made me have to multitask even more and gave me more to do. So what back in the day took 3 or 4 people to do, now it's all resting on one people, which is why I think expanding, even with this, with the holidays and with COVID and everything like that, with all the weight, just like we talked about a few weeks back, the weight, the responsibility, the depression, how things can slide into depression, how things can slide into just being down. When you have losses and stuff like that, that's kind of why that's the reason why I really wanted to tap into this self-care. Because I think that we need to realize the value in a moment and taking that moment. Not saying, just like you said, not saying we're going to do this because, okay, look, I'm gonna just go, yeah, I just need to do this because it's gonna take, no, really taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
But you, just like you said, I think the part that we have to understand is it's a holistic thing. It's not just to go away and get your hair done. Don't use self-care as an excuse to get your hair done. Right. Don't use self-care as an excuse to go to the bar. Don't use self-care as an excuse. Like, when we talk about self-care, it's important that we understand self-care is because of the necessity to have a break. And it's holistic. It's not just a break. It can be emotionally. Self-care can be going to a psychiatrist, or just like you said, just talking to somebody, pouring out to somebody. Self-care can be going to the hospital, going to the doctor, just getting the checkup. That's why I was so glad, and shout out to Tiff from last week. I really appreciate that she did come on the show, because it did give us a sense of emergency on making sure that we good. As I said last week, I said the week before, I've had I had a mild heart attack a couple years back. And that was a wake-up call to me. Like, dude, you got to get yourself together, because if not, you could potentially not be here. And so as much as Amanda irritate the heck out of me, telling me, make sure you're doing this, make sure you're going to the gym, make sure you're taking your medicine, it's still helping me make sure that I'm good. Because when it comes down to it, I need to be here for a minute. I need to stick around for a while. So, and just like you said, it is spiritually necessary, because I'm be honest with you. When I went through my worst times, and I'm pretty sure you can say this at the same time, you know, when I went through a lot of my worst times, it was only because of my faith. It was only because of my relationship. And I don't walk around here with a Bible, slapping people with a Bible. I don't walk around throwing scriptures at everybody. But I show you who I am, and you can see me as a representative of Christ through my actions and what I'm through my relationship. That's what it's about with me, you know. But when it comes down to it, it's a holistic thing. It's not just a one area of self-care. It should be holistic. It's hard to say that you're really trying to work on self-care if you know that something ain't good for you health-wise, but you turn into it. But I do appreciate that value, because you definitely hit on point with that. You brought out a lot of good points with that. As far as how self-care shouldn't be you have to be selfish to an extent, but you also got to be realistic with yourself. Was you about to say something?
No.
Okay. You already kind of touched on it a little bit. You talked about going to the spa and going to the hair, get your hair done is a form of self-care. Playing video games
only if you don't get to do so. So let me clear that up, because you made a point. You just made a point previous to that. It's not an excuse to do those things, mm-hmm. right? What it does is, these are usually things when I brought that up, because like you said, you're right. There some things are just need, their habits. You know what I'm saying? Some people go get their hair done on a regular basis, or go get their nails done on a regular basis. And you know, some of these things are regular for some people. What I'm saying is that some people need it because they don't get the chance to do this. Like, you know me for a long time. I'm a hardcore video game.
Mm-hmm.
And like, when I say hardcore video gamer, I could be up playing video games till like 2, 3, mm-hmm. 4 o'clock in the morning, like nonstop playing. But I haven't, as of recently, I think that maybe it's rare that I even have time to do it like I want to. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I have so many things to do. Like I literally came home last week, like on a Tuesday or something, and I was just like, you know what? When I get home from work today, I don't got nothing to do. I'm gonna start this. I bought this game. And I've played it like a total of like an hour. And I'm like, I'm really excited about playing it. And when I came home, I turned the game on. I went down there. Then the phone rang. And I had to talk to somebody. And then I started making dinner. And, you know, I started running these errands. And then, like, by the time I had got back, my PlayStation was asleep. Again, it had kind of cut off and my TV was asleep, and all I could do now was start getting ready for my nightly routine. And like, that total time that I thought that I was going to be able to just sit down and do nothing totally dissolved. You know what I'm saying? And so you are right, like, some people get to do this stuff on a regular basis, and it's not self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Self-care things come from when you can't do them. They're harder to get to. You know what I'm saying? because when I say in other words, you have to make time for them. Like you have to find a situation, a time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like you like there's literally people, and I'm one of those people who feel like I can't afford to be sick.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't look at my life in a perspective of I can even afford to be sick. Like, and when I say sick, I ain't talking about the sniffles, cold sick. I'm talking about I can't afford to break a bone. I can't sprain an ankle. Like I can't be in a situation where I'm in the bed stuck. Like because in my mind, I can't be helpless.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm always trying to make sure that I can't be. And so you almost wear yourself out because you feel the pressure of having to accomplish so much, whether you have a short period of time or a long period of time. Like there's people who come home, like we were talking about the single mothers, where they might come home, they might be at work, and then they gotta help with the homework. They might have to cook the dinner. They might have to make sure the clothes wash. Like if Saturday come up, they at the laundromat. You know all about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you be at the laundromat. You spend your Saturday at the laundromat, you know, and your friend's like, oh, we going out to this? And like, oh, I can't go. I don't have a babysitter. And so you kind of get stuck in this constant rotation where your life is not necessarily having a meaning for you. But your life means something to somebody else, but it doesn't mean anything for you. Like none of this time is about you. Every mm-hmm. single moment of your time is about somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so those type of things start to wear on you over time, and they start to wear on you emotionally and physically and socially because you start feeling that yourself, you're outside of yourself, mm-hmm. like you're on your shell of who you are. So, you know, all these things become integrated in you, and it's hard to get out of it. You know, it's hard to expect.
But see, and you're absolutely right with that, because but you, like what I really want to touch on, and I don't think many people understand it until it's too late, how easy it is to get wrapped up in it. Like when you got a job that you really enjoy, it's really easy to get it, even if it's a job that you don't. But if you got a job where you feel like you're a necessity, if you got a job where you feel like, oh, I have to hurry up and do this, or you know, if I'm not there, if I don't do this, and many times that's how we get caught up. If I don't do this, if I'm not here to do this portion, then they're going to mess. Then it's going to somebody's going to put. It can mess up something. It can mess up somebody, or they're going
to overthinking it.
And that's what it comes down to. That's why I gave the example that I did when it comes to
that's a good example.
One of my coworkers is like, you feel like if you are not there, then everything else is going to fall and fail.
Right. That's exactly, I didn't mean to cut you off, but what you just said is my exact point. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It doesn't make it the reality.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make it the reality, but because you get into a constant routine, a constant thing that you do, it's a reality to you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it is real, it's really like that, but your mind be so, you know, like you said, like she talking about, she think the whole building gonna burn down if she mm-hmm. not there.
If she ain't there, yeah.
And she literally, I mean, if y'all had to even a better relationship, because this yours is still new, you could almost ban her from calling. Like, don't call here. Don't check on us. Like you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh.
Yeah,
you know, you're
absolutely right. I have to, and there has to be a fine line, and that we can talk about. We definitely go get into that because I got a couple different ideas for later on. But you're absolutely right when it comes to, you have to almost you have to. It's insane. It causes insanity. It causes a mental breakdown because I guarantee I'm gonna talk to her at least two or three times. And she's only off for 2 days. I'm expecting. I'm already anticipating to talk to her at least two or three times Monday, just tomorrow. I told her, because I know what the type of mentality that she have, and nothing against her, but I had to explain to her. I said, for your sake and your sanity, I said, if anything goes on, then I will let you know. But I'll give you a call at the end of the day when I'm on my way home and we can have a conversation about how the day went. And some of those things that, and this is me learning my position, my new position, and how I can be effective around that in a new place. Because I know how she is. I know what she's thinking. I know. So I have to give her a little bit of comfort even while she's going through this. And what I think it would do is build that trust between us. It's just like you said, it'll build up that relationship. But sometimes we do get into that place. And so I think we just answer why, because that was one of my questions. Why self-care? You know, why? So just, I think that you hit on some things that I think some people, sometimes we got to realize, okay, so what are we doing that is self-care? What can we do for self-care? Of course, we can think about the typical stuff, just like we talked about, you know, the president go play golf all the time. Video games is a big thing for you. Some people like to go.
It really can be.
Yeah. So some people go to the shooting range. What's up, baby girl?
Yeah.
Some people go to the shooting range. Some people go to the, some people draw, you know, some people, it's a lot of, just like you said, for me lately, what I've been getting into, that fire pit.
Okay. Yes, exactly.
I go out back, I turn on my fire pit, I put on some music, and I just vibe. Amanda used to be out there a lot with me, but now she don't even have to be out there. I'll be out there in the middle
of
the
week. She ain't going to be out there with you. She an Aquarius, but she ain't about to be out there in the snow with you. I can tell you that right now.
But just like you do when you're, and I thought about it with you, like how you be out there in the winter grilling. Like cooking can be a form of self-care.
Not for me, not no more.
Because it used to be. I remember days
it used to be.
But I'm seeing, I get it. It's just
used to be therapeutic. I used to do it every day. When the girls was little, I cooked every day.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
I cooked every day.
So, and then I think we also need to understand that there are, just like you said, it's a holistic thing. I really want to push that idea or the concept that self-care is not just single-minded or one gear. It's a holistic thing, which means, you know, sometimes you do got to go to the doctor, because, you know, we don't like to go to the doctor. You know, it's natural, you know.
Don't irritate the dog.
My fault. We just want to make sure that we understand the holistic thing, like going and getting checkups. Like for me, the one thing that Tiff said last week that stood out was, if you got an ailment that's going on for more than 2 weeks, you might need to get it checked out. Like it started making me think, like, dang, you know, it was a lot of stuff. It's just like the car. If you hear something ticking for a while, then that's a sign that something is wrong. We got to make sure we don't ignore the signs.
Yeah, but I would also like to add to that there's a term there's a term that's used in medical where people are asked about each other, and they use a term, they say, is this your baseline or is that their baseline? And it's important for people to know what is your baseline. And that's why you need to go to, that's why you need to go to the doctors and be checked on a regular basis, because you need to know what your baseline is. And when I say baseline is, that is going to be your normal. So what is your normal? You know what I'm saying? What is normal? Do you normally have knee pain? Do you normally have back pain? Or do you normally, you know what I'm saying? Do you normally have trouble breathing? And see, what happens is if you can recognize when something abnormal is happening to you, you can establish what your baseline would be. So you can make better decisions on how sick you might be or if something is going wrong. So if you having a headache every other day for a week, that's not your baseline. You go weeks without it. So if constantly having the same headaches, there's something going on. So you have to be able to acknowledge what your baselines are. That's it.
Hold up.
No. So for those of you who are watching, I'm filling in. Apparently, El Wonder is chasing his puppy around, and my dog hears his dog barking, and so now she's barking, trying to figure out where's the other dog at in the house. So
oh wow,
So she's walking around. Yeah, she's walking around looking for another dog.
Yeah, every time somebody comes to the door, that's
she coming over here.
Now. My oldest daughter, Shamar, she just got home from work. She's been working all day. Welcome home, daughter.
Welcome home, daughter.
Uncle Keith said, welcome home. Hi. You can tell she's frustrated. She just had to ride the bus home. And I'm proud of my baby. She is taking on her own responsibility. She don't like riding the bus, but I'm really proud of her. She's doing her thing. Now she got her dog. That's her baby. So that's why he was barking, because he was waiting for her to come in. That dog had, we were talking about that yesterday. That dog got separation issues when it comes to her. But see, even with that, you know what? Is it possible? And that brings up a good question. Is it possible for a person to be a part of self-care?
You mean like a person can help you?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because that's obvious, because guys go to strip clubs. So
That's true. That's true. But see, I mean, you know, is it, because I mean
some of them are just perverts, but I mean, for some guys it's therapeutic.
That makes sense. It could, you know what? What did she say? Oh, that was Camille.
Yeah. So she not on the set. Hey.
Everybody, that's my daughter Shamar. She just came in. And the dog is her self-care. But you know, I think that brings up a really good point, because especially people who got spouses, especially people who got people who got significant others. We do a lot we got a lot going on. It's whether it's kids, whether it's Christmas and stuff like that. I think we need to be able to help bring a sense of peace to certain people with people. I think we can do that. I think that would help when it comes to, that's why I say holistic, because for me, no matter how crazy it is at my job, no matter what's going on out here, I always want my house to be that place of peace. Now, I don't always get that. I'm gonna be honest with you. It's not always happening, but I want my house to be that place of peace. So I try to create that same thing with them. And like I said, it's not always happening. You don't have to duck, baby girl. You can just walk. Serenity was running past to get they about to walk the dog. So she go duck to get past, so she won't be on the TV on the thing. But I mean, we just got to make sure we be that same thing for each other too.
But you know what? You just brought up a point to me, because when me and Camille first got married, we had an issue with that. And she did not understand that concept, that when we came home, when me, Celeste, and Kayla, when we were all living together, it was just the three of us, we had developed a really, really strong routine. Like, it was solid. You know what I'm saying? It was like clockwork. Like, all the way up until, like, because everything was on a schedule for me, because we were riding a bus. So from me getting them up in the morning to getting them out on time to get on the bus to making sure I got to the next bus stop in time to drop Celeste off at her daycare, to coming back out to get on the bus so I could take Kayla to her daycare. Mm-hmm. And from me doing the things in reverse and picking them up, to the time we came home and when I would start dinner and what we would do after dinner and what time did I have them in the tub. Like, I had everything mm-hmm. down to the letter. And so there was always a time where we dispersed. It was like a 2-hour window where Celeste and Kaylee would just sort of like disappear. Mm-hmm. And I would just like just sit on the couch or decompress. Mm-hmm. So the house would be completely quiet. Like, they would shut their door. They would watch their little shows. Caleb might do some painting. Celeste might watch the little cartoons, but that was it. And when we got married, like, she was just like, okay, well, why is everybody dispersing? Like, why is, you know, like, why, my puppy.
Yeah, I see his outline.
Look, so she would say, like, why is everybody dispersing? Why is everybody in their own place with the door closed? And why are you doing this? Why are you going here? Why do you go to the basement? Like, because I had this time where I would always need to decompress every day in order for me to kind of deal with the day. So I had to actually learn how to explain that, you know what I'm saying, over the years, and she didn't immediately accept it. But like, I remember not too long ago, like, I don't know, my sister was over here. I want to say it was my sister, or I was talking to her on the phone or something. And she was like, it's so quiet over there. I said, there's six people in this house. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a certain part of the day in my house where you can almost pin drop.
And
it's normal.
I had to learn that. I'm gonna be honest. That was a hard thing that I had to learn, that you need that time. I think that's one of the biggest things, and I'm not telling everybody to go get separated so they can come back home and understand it more better, but better.
Whoa!
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But when I say this, then you already know that's the tagline. Don't go get separated when I say this. But I think during my separation, that's something that I had to learn. I had to learn the value of making sure, because, you know, me and Sheree got married. I was 19. She was 21. We got married right between our birthdays. So we got married real early. We got married real young. So when we got married, we went from, and this was the first 5 years, you know the story, this is the first 5 years of marriage. We got married in 2001. LJ was born in 2002. I went overseas in 2003. Shamar was born in 2004. We bought a house in 2005. So that was our first 5 years of marriage.
Yeah, it went pretty fast.
It went really
fast. And y'all bought a car.
And we had a car. Everything was bam, bam, bam. Everything was back to back to back.
Y'all moved three times.
Now we got into our house.
Four times. Y'all moved four times.
We moved four times. If you count
the time y'all was staying together in the building on the second floor, I mean, y'all was standing down there off of 70.
The building, the buck, 110 Union. Oh yeah, then no. Remember, we did stay with Simone for a short period of time.
Yeah, and y'all stayed like 140 something in
Kansas. Over there, over St. Clair. And then, when I was overseas, Sharia stayed with Simone. And then when I came home,
off 142nd in Kinsman.
No, yeah, see, so yeah, we moved about five or six times.
Yeah,
moving back and forth, and
it was a lot going on.
It was a lot, so that put a weight on our relationship. I'm not saying that was the only thing. I'm not saying that was it, but it had a part to play in it. And being after we, and so at, from that time, that was 5 years. The next 4 years after that, we had to realize, that we didn't build a relationship, that we just started getting into routine, and we was heavy. And that year that we bought the house, I was in an accident, so we lost the car. So that started a new routine where we was getting up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, getting the kids ready. Just like you said, we stayed over here off of Harvard. I'll take the kids off all the way down there to Huff, get them in daycare by 7 o'clock. That's three buses to get that's three buses to get them to daycare to get them to daycare by seven.
Is that when my mother gave you out a car?
That's when she gave me the car, right after that. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to put all this together.
Yeah. So this was, but at the time, we moved in August. She gave us the car in January, February-ish. So she gave us a car around January, February. So from that time frame, we was riding the bus. Oh, let me take that back. We rode the bus all the way up until December, because my auntie said, and this is the thing, this is why I say that, because God will send people in your life. I think that God allows you to go through certain things, and he allow you to struggle, and he allow you to be challenged to see your perseverance, to see how you go deal with it. And then once he see that you are faithful in certain situations, then that's when he will bring an outlet to give you a break, because during that time, while we was going through that, Sharia was going one way. Like I said, we waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning just to get two kids ready and just get everybody packed. Because I had two daycare kids at the time. Right. That was great. We had two kids who was in daycare. So I would catch the bus and drop them off at daycare. That way I can go up to Cleveland Clinic because I was still working at the clinic at the time. Right. We was at the church. And we had that's when they started the Bible classes. So sometimes I would go from work to straight to the church because of the Bible classes. So when I did that, Sharia would have to go pick up the kids from daycare, which she was all the way on the west side. And when it wasn't her, I would have to go pick up. So we had to, it was certain that we had routines, but basically that's all in all, we had these routines. So it began to just get real routine. So we wasn't building that relationship. So I started to say this, that when we just didn't have that relationship to get to as far as enjoying each other, as far as that being able to enjoy and have fun with each other and get to laugh with each other and stuff like that. So that's what I think played a lot of what, now it was way more stuff that went along with it, but that was a basis that played into things. And what I learned from that separation was you gotta take time to enjoy. You gotta have that self-care. You gotta have a break every so often, or else you go crazy, or else because it's gonna implode one way or another. Right. So it's gonna manifest its way in somehow it's gonna manifest itself. So that separation had to teach me how to enjoy, how to just take time, how to breathe, how to exhale. And for a long time, I thought that was crazy. Just like you said, being in the house, I'm coming in the house and LJ here, Shamar here, I'm here, Amanda or Sharia at the time. But I'm like, I see why it's important now. I see why it's a value now, because we need that in order to function and stay sane. So I agree with you. You know, I had to learn that same exact thing. We need to be spending family time together. No, sometimes you just need to be in your own space at times. As much as I don't agree with a lot of things that the president has done or said, I do agree that he is getting his time. He's getting his self-care. Maybe to a whole nother level, but that's necessary.
But if we're like, yeah, and I said, that was something that, you know, I think Camilla came into the household thinking probably the same way, but now she even realized that it's something to be said about having the TV to yourself to watch all your shows and to be there, and no, it ain't kids ain't standing in front of the TV and you kind of looking around trying to figure out what you need to do. You get some peace, you get some time, and everybody has to have that. You know, everybody can't get that. But I think that if you can, you have to start structuring your life around making sure that you get an opportunity. And you have to make plans. For everybody that's out here, you have to make plans. You know what I'm saying? You gotta make plans for yourself. You gotta start doing something for yourself. You have to be selfish for the people who aren't used to being selfish.
Just for the people
who are selfish all the time.
If you're selfish on a regular basis, this is not for you.
Don't. This is not for you. You don't need to add any more selfish time.
Listen, next week.
And they know who they are.
Yeah, you definitely know who you are. If you're spending more time, and it's very important. What'd you say? No, stop talking about me. I was already on here. I forgot to send it to Facebook. I posted it just for myself at first. So now we doing regular time. Stop talking about my podcast, wife. I heard you.
Just so you know, your official time is 5:21. That's okay. that's your hour show.
Thank
just
you.
Because you know, because you don't know, you had to start it over.
But, and you know, I'm not going to take it over that, because I definitely want to make sure that we get it in, we in at the right time, because I think that's what makes one of the things that makes the podcast as sufficient as it has been. But to wrap things up, I appreciate that point to wrap things up. You know, we do just got to make sure that we understand that it's first off, that self-care is necessary. It is a selfish mentality, but sometimes you have to be selfish as long as you are not selfish on a regular basis. There's a balance between that. It is a holistic thing. So don't just focus on one area. I just need time by myself. If you need to go and have a conversation to address yourself mentally, or you need to go to the doctor to address yourself physically, do that. It's a holistic thing. And I do appreciate it, but I do, just the FYI, next week, for the next 2 weeks, I'm definitely going to have a couple more guests on here. And then the third week, I like the way that we rocking with this week. And then the third week, it'll be me and you again wrapping this up. But for the next topic, just the FYI, the next topic is going to be one that I really appreciate, one that I like so much, and it means so much to me that I actually named my company after. Next week, we're going to be talking about excellence. Why do we need excellence? How excellence plays a role in things? And, you know, and what do I mean when I say that? Because excellence can be misunderstood, misinterpreted the wrong way. So we're going to break that down a little bit. Well, I'm going to let y'all wonder why. We're going to definitely break down the word excellence. And next week, I'm going to have my mother-in-law on here. So I'm excited. I'm hyped. Exactly. My mother-in-law going to be on here. Why? Because that woman has a lot of insight on the topic of excellence. And she got a story to tell as well. So this has been your boy, L. Wonder, kicking it with Mr. K, Keith Fagan. Until next week. Peace. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Kwanzaa. Hanukkah. Ramadan.
What else?
I don't know.
Any other holidays that y'all just created?
I can't think of it. Oh, okay. Festivus. Festivus for the rest of us.
Yes.
All right.
We out.